We are drowning in plastic. But what if instead of throwing it away, we could make old plastics into something useful? How, you ask? Check out the Future of Everything podcast from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, December 28th. I'm Alex Osola for the Wall Street Journal. This week, we're looking at what 2024 has in store for tech and what some of the biggest trends from 2023 can tell us about the future. Coming up on today's show, your Apple Watch or Fitbit has been tracking all kinds of useful things like your step count and your sleep. But in 2024, those devices could finally record a key health metric that lots of people have been waiting for. And maybe it's the year that those devices and others have even longer lifespans. WSJ personal tech columnist Nicole DeWin has been following these topics and more, and is here to give us her predictions for what 2024 could bring. Everyone's talking about dis and misinformation tied to the election. How are tech companies gearing up for this?
Well, they're changing their policies and sizing down on their content moderation teams, which is not necessarily in preparation for the election, but it's the reality of what's happening. Another thing that's happening is some of these tech companies are changing their policy on disinformation. Meta and YouTube have changed their tune on what counts as disinformation. So, for example, content that makes the false claim that the previous election was rigged will no longer be taken down. However, on Meta, advertisers will be required to disclose when political ads contain digitally altered media, including media that features AI-generated voices or imagery. What we can expect is that 2024 consumers will need to be more vigilant than ever when they look at information that comes through these social media platforms.
As you mentioned, this is not the first time that disinformation and misinformation has been around or has affected potentially an election. How could this election be different?
We know that there are already AI voice clones that have showed up in some political campaign media. For example, Donald Trump hosted this parody of Republican presidential candidate Ron DeSantis' campaign launch, and it featured AI-generated voice clones from a bunch of different people. And without a disclosure or without understanding AI technology, you may think that's somebody's genuine voice that's running on that political campaign ad. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not voters are savvy enough to tell the difference.
For sure. Guess we'll see. Moving along to our next topic. One of the other things that happened this year has been a lot of hacks. It just seems like cyber crime is rising. Can we expect that to change next year or to look different?
Cybercrime has gone up and up and up for the last decade or so, and no reason to believe that it's slowing down anytime soon because it's such a profitable endeavor for a lot of hackers. We can look at the most recent hack of 23andMe, that DNA genetic testing company, which affected 6.9 million people. And this hack was largely enabled by password reuse. So that's our lousy password habits. And that's a huge headache for companies and consumers because their information is being hacked and their data is leaked out there and being sold on the internet.
One of the potential solutions that you've written about before is passkeys. Can you tell us a bit about what they are and if we've seen companies adopting them more widely this past year?
Passkeys are a new type of passwordless login, and it's pretty technical, but essentially a passkey is something that lives on your physical device, and it can be unlocked usually with a Face ID scan or a Touch ID scan, a biometric scan of some sort, or maybe a master password that lets you into your password manager. And it's not a password. It's not something that you have to type in. It's this cryptographic key that's looking for the right lock, and the right lock only exists on the legitimate services website. So say you're using a passkey to log into google.com, your passkey will make sure that the lock looks authentic and legitimate and correct. It'll require something from you, either a master password or a biometric scan, and then it'll let you in to that website. And it's a lot more secure than passwords because it can't really be hacked. The hacker would need physical access to your device. And yes, stolen devices are a problem, but they're much less of a problem and way more friction for these cyber criminals to physically get a hold of your devices than to try to guess your password. A lot of companies have adopted this past year. Google is a big one, Apple, Amazon. And if you haven't already set up a passkey, I think in 2024, you will definitely try setting up your first passkey and hopefully use them with more regularity.
Big year next year.
Yeah.
We'll hear more predictions from our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen, after the break.
Taxi, to the airport, please.
What if, instead of driving to the airport, you could fly there?
Wow, 10 minutes flat? A new record.
This future may not be so far away. Flying taxis could be a reality in the next few years.
This is the real exciting thing because it is the ability that will transform how we think of transportation.
But how do we get there? Listen to the Future of Everything podcast from The Wall Street Journal. Let's talk now a little bit about health data. So this whole quantified self thing has been going on for a while. How does this look different this past year?
For at least the last decade, we've seen a lot of advances in heart rate data and sleep tracking accuracy, and most recently skin temperature data to help with like fertility predictions and menstrual cycle predictions. And we're entering a new era, I think, of wearables with the 10th anniversary of the announcement of the Apple Watch. And the new metric seems to be ways to track blood pressure on your wrist without using a cuff. And this is a huge advancement because a lot of Americans, something like 120 million American adults, have hypertension, high blood pressure. And one way to manage that is to constantly track your blood pressure. And so Apple has looked into this. My colleagues at the Wall Street Journal have reported that Apple is researching this heavily. Samsung already has blood pressure measurement on some of their wearables, though it's not available in the US for regulatory reasons. Fitbit, which is owned by Google, has filed a patent application for a display that, when touched forcibly, could measure your blood pressure. So I think that this is an area that people should expect this next generation of wearables to have.
Finally, speaking of devices, the devices themselves, no matter how well we take care of them, they seem to always go bust just around the time the support or warranty runs out. How might this change in next year?
Yes, the curse of the new device coming out. It's like your old iPhone always breaks down when the new iPhone comes out.
Yes.
Yeah, this prediction is not as sexy or futuristic as the other ones, but it's very meaningful to consumers. There is a trend of sorts of companies extending the lifespan software support for devices. And we're seeing this by Google. They upped their support for their latest Pixel 8 phones to 7 years from 5 years. Samsung recently did this as well, up to 4 years from 2 years and 5 years of security updates up from four. Microsoft is extending its lifespan for Windows 10 machines, but for a fee. Google, starting next year, will support Chromebooks for up to a decade. And this is a pretty interesting development because we produce something like 6.9 million tons of e-waste every year. And a lot of gadgets that are deprecated and no longer supported are in fine working condition. And it's up to the manufacturers to quit rolling out software and security updates. And we're beholden to these manufacturers, to these device makers, to continue doing so, or else our internet-connected gadgetry will no longer work. And two, for the makers themselves, device sales have slowed down. Global smartphone shipments are down. And a lot of companies are making money via software services. And so this could be a chance for those companies to keep their devices in customers' hands for longer so that they can sell them services like Apple can sell us iCloud, for example.
Nicole, thank you so much and see you next year.
See you next year. Thank you for having me.
That was WSJ personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen. You can read all of our columnist predictions on WSJ.com, and we've included a link in our show notes. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang, with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back tomorrow with more of our special series, Tech in 2024. Thanks for listening. How is this lab studying human brains? By growing them in a petri dish. Well, sort of. Learn how little balls of brain cells are helping scientists better understand diseases on the Future of Everything podcast from The Wall Street Journal.